check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, you're not doing too shabby. You know, living the dream, living the dream. I'm not drinking any soda today, so no soda review from me.
Okay, well, I'm not drinking soda either. I am drinking beer. I'm drinking a Guinness, so there is that. Yes. I am out of my Samuel Adams winter lager already, so I need more of that. That's some good shit, but. So that's what I'm drinking.
But I'm drinking water.
That's boring.
Right.
But on today's show, we are reviewing the movie Cellar Door, and we're also going to discuss Creep Tapes episode number 4, Brad. So let's start with that, Ike. Let's discuss the Creep Tapes episode number 4, Brad. We'll try to do this spoiler-free as we have. And I don't know. I really don't know what else to say. Besides what we've been saying, it just every episode is just more fun. It makes me love the Creep franchise even more, and this episode is no exception. I love you know, whatever they call him, Peach Fuzz or whatever his name is, and the main guy. I love, he has such a playfulness in this that just it makes it. No pun intended. It makes it even more creepy, right? Given what he does. But this one, it's just like every episode, they find a new way to put a little twist on it and make it a little different. And this one's no different. Again, like we've said every week, I cannot recommend people go out and watch this. It is so much fun. Like I said, we've got 2 episodes left after this one. And each one just gets better. I cannot wait to see. I mean, I can only imagine what episode 6 is going to be like. I'm so excited. So I just, again, another week, it makes me fall in love even more with the Creep Tapes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it cannot be said enough that, you know, Mark Duplass is just a superb actor. I mean, I've known that he is good at what he does since the Creep movies. But this television series that he has created with everyone else that's involved, it just further solidifies just how talented he is. And this episode is no different. Like you said, spoiler free, this one obviously took a little bit of a different twist on the whole concept. This one, I feel like, honestly, this one really, I think, portrayed the Creeps' level of, how should you say, manipulativeness. Basically, yeah. he can manipulate any situation to be however he wants it to be, you know, and something about the way that he manipulates and the way that he really just pushes and takes what he needs and what he wants, really, it's just unique. And like you said, it just continues to, you know, his delightfulness, his playfulness, but also the fact that he's being so manipulative and creepy and just so forward and brash. It just continues to push this narrative of like who the Creep is. And it's just so unique how they do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like you said, we've been saying it so much. If you haven't caught on to it yet, start watching it now. It's worth it. It's really quick episodes, like 20, 30 minute episodes.
It is.
So, I mean, it's nothing really.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Each episode, right. He is manipulative, but this one, especially I really feel like Brad was very vulnerable, right? He was, and you have to watch the episode. I'm not going to tell why, but yeah, he was a guy, you know, who did something, and then it didn't really, you know, spawn the success that he had hoped. So he was still, let's just say he's a filmmaker who made something, a documentary that was within the Creep universe, was very trendsetting, right? And it was one of the first of it. And it did well in its time, but it didn't really spin into other opportunities for him while other people took his concept and had a lot of success for it. So he was a very vulnerable person. And Mark's character in this was really, saying all the things that trying to play on that.
Yeah.
There was just a couple of different aspects to it that, a little different set dressing for how he approaches and everything. And it's just great. This is what I wanted from it. This is what we suspected it would be, right? These examples of all these different people he's met and done, like, each one representing a different tape. And I like it. It works. I don't see any reason this has to stop anytime soon. Why they can't just keep doing more and more and more. I mean, I'm loving it. All the reasons that I love the movies, are the reason that I'm loving this. It has translated over super well. They've done such a good job, and the series approach has really allowed them to spread their wings and be a little even more creative with what they do. Or they're locked into one scenario for, an hour and a half. They get to each week for 20 something minutes, get to explore a different scenario. So it's really letting them, play in their sandbox quite a bit. So it is fun. Cannot express it, how good it is, how much I enjoy it, and how much I look forward each week to watch the new episode. So and if it does build, I mean, I can't. Oh, I mean, if they're saving the best for last, which you want to think that a series is, but I can't wait to see episode six.
Same.
So, all right. So, besides our movie for today and Creep Tapes, Ike, did you get to watch anything else?
Yeah, not a whole lot of horror. I started a rewatch of basically all of the Star Wars stuff. Like I hadn't been able to watch like the new show, like The Acolyte. So I started watching that, which is really good. And I've watched like the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, some of the Tales of the Jedi, and I'm on to the Clone Wars TV show, which is going to take a long time. But other than that, I forgot to mention a movie from last week that me and Kayla watched a little while ago, but I wanted to mention it. It's a movie on Tubi called Slay. It is by and large one of the it's a Tubi original, right? And it is hard to describe, so I'll just use what they describe it as. But it says, after a booking mistake, drag queens find themselves performing for a mostly unwelcoming crowd. But when vampires attack, the crowd looks to the queens to save the day. So it's literally like four drag queens killing vampires. Honestly, it is cheesy goodness. It's a Tubi original. It's very self-aware. But like the thing that is better than all of that is that the people in the movie, they have their drag queen names, which are pretty cool. But in real life, they have their own like drag queen names. And one of them, their name in real life, like the name they work by, is Crystal Method. And I just thought that was brilliant. So, yeah, that it's a funny movie. It's a fun time. It's just, it's honestly, it's more comedy than horror. But hey, there's vampires. You can't beat that.
Let's see, what did I watch? I watched the original Street Trash movie with the anticipation that the new version that is out video on demand now, it will be out streaming in a couple of weeks, and we will probably be reviewing it. So I did watch the original. That was interesting. And then I did watch our cheesy slasher of the week, which we will get to in a minute. I had never seen it. I watched it. It was less interesting, but it was something nonetheless. So we'll get to that. Well, let's just go right to it.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
Our cheesy slasher of the week is a segment where I give you cheesy is the polite term, right? I mean, because I'm not going to call anything bad per se, because it is what it is, whether I enjoy it or I think it's hokey or whatever. Some people do enjoy it, and that's okay. So I'm not going to call anything bad. So we'll call it cheesy. This is where we take a cheesy movie, typically a slasher, and we present it to you as something that you should seek out and watch just for fun, not to be taken too seriously. And our cheesy slasher this week is a movie called Slime City. And the movie was written and directed by Gregory Lamberson, starring Craig Saban, Mary Hunter, T.J. Merrick, and others. The movie was released May 6, 1988 in theaters and in 1989 on home video. And you can watch it now on Tubi. And the movie is described as a student moves into a rundown building in New York City. His bizarre neighbors make a concoction in their apartment they call wine, but when he takes some of it, he turns into a deformed, murderous monster. The movie was filmed in New York City for $100,000, and the only really interesting note of it is that director and writer Gregory Lamberson did return to write and direct a sequel called Slime City Massacre in 2009. That description of the movie is, yeah, that's it in a nutshell. There's not much more to be added to that. this movie is definitely cheesy. It is definitely hokey. The effects, it's got practical effects, of course, but they leave a lot to be desired. But they made the effort. And this movie, it leans heavy into trying to put a lot of blood and slime and you know, that little bit of that disgusting factor, along with an ample little supply of some nudity, and tries to, you know, bank on that that's, you know, going to be appealing. And in 1988, it probably was. So this is definitely a kind of a low-budget 1988 type of movie. So everybody, just go give it a watch. Don't expect anything, so that don't come hating on me, saying that I'm telling you this is some lost masterpiece. That's not the case. But just go watch it so that you can have a good chuckle. It is a very much kind of a, you know, most of these are kind of a slice of the times for these low budget horror movies. Why this one did have a limited theatrical run and did okay, and then with the home video. The majority of these are kind of straight to home video type stuff. So it is a slice of horror history. So just take it for what it is as a representation of the low budget horror movies of the time. And do not come looking for me. Because I'm not proclaiming it to be some great lost classic. It is not. So let's move on to our next segment.
Talk to us, Internet.
And it is time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I respond to either listener feedback for us, which we need a lot more of that, guys. We need some more listener feedback, where there's not a whole lot that you're giving us that is ample enough for us to use on here. So I don't know. Throw us some questions. Throw us something, because, you know, you guys are giving us some stuff here and there, but it's not stuff that we can use on here. So give us some of your opinion. So anyway, or it is something, just something floating around on social media that we pick up on. And that's what we have again this episode. On social media, of course, there is a lot of excitement about Scream 7, right? That's been a very hot topic among the horror community on social media, which brought something to mind for me and made me ponder. So I thought, let's use it here just to have a momentary discussion. I don't want to go too deep into this, but because there's not a right or wrong answer and there's no way to quantify this. But are people, all these people that are excited about Scream 7, are people more excited about the fact that Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are not part of this movie? Or are more people excited because Neve Campbell is a part of this movie? Again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. My opinion is this. I don't think that there's necessarily this large segment of people that are happy that Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are not part of the movie. I think there probably are a chunk of people who thought maybe that last movie missed a little bit. I don't know that they put the blame on them as much as the not having Sydney in it, maybe the direction of the movie a little bit, stuff like that. I don't think that they are blaming Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega or their characters. Now, I know there are some people who absolutely loved Melissa Barrera in this, and that some of them online are very aggressive to the fact that she's not in the movies anymore and are very aggressive to people who still love the franchise. I have seen some of that, right? They will come at people who are just excited that there's going to be another Scream movie. They don't even have to say anything about Melissa Barrera. Most of them don't. And they will still come at them. I don't know what that is. I didn't know she had such a strong fan base or whatever that is so loyal to her that I guess she does. And that's okay. I like Melissa Barrera. Don't get me wrong. I like Jenna Ortega. I wish there could have been a way that they could still have been in the movie, still been in the franchise, that there could have been a little better melding of the two. The Scream movie, essentially Scream 5, tried it. It was okay, but I wish that they could have got, you know, a trilogy out of it that would have better melded the two than what was executed. Now, I do think there is a large chunk of people who are very excited that Neve Campbell's back and who are definitely excited that, you know, Courtney Cox is on board, that, that Matthew Broderick is probably coming back. Not Matthew Broderick, Patrick Dempsey, excuse me. I don't know why I said Matthew Broderick. Patrick Dempsey is coming back. And whatever. But I don't think that's directly related to the other two not being in it. I think it's just they're excited about that. At least that's my opinion. That's my thoughts, right? I'm excited that they're back. I really think you have, I mean, to have Scream, you gotta, I think you need Neve Campbell as much as you can. She needs to be a part of it. I think it's Sydney's such a crucial part. But it has nothing to do with the other two. I'm just excited that, you know, they're back and I'm excited about this direction. So I don't know. I don't know that it's as divided as people maybe want to make it, but, there are some. Ike, what are your thoughts?
Well, first things first, I just got to say I'm really excited for the Ferris Bueller crossover with Scream. Absolutely yeah. Excited for that. I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. But no, so to kind of summarize for myself, I will say I have seen a lot of people basically on both sides of this, right? They're excited for a return to legacy characters. And a lot of people are upset that, you know, Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are not in this. I personally think that it's sort of a shame that they weren't able to, kind of like you were saying, that they weren't able to sort of cap this off with a trilogy. So I think that it would have been best suited to like cap this off with a trilogy for the Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega, the Carpenter Sisters, I believe is sort of their colloquial name. So I think that having one more movie to sort of cap off of their story would have been ideal. And then to sort of then, I would say, wrap up the series in a way with bringing in all of people from all different, you know, universes, if you will. Because in my mind, kind of looking at this from the perspective of the other films, you had the original trilogy, which very specifically follows Neve Campbell's character. You have the fourth film that sort of, it does still follow Neve Campbell's character, but it also kind of expands to her family a little bit, sort of her impact on the community. And then you have the next three films, which follow the Carpenter Sisters. I think that having all of that, you know, all of that being put together in sort of like this weird, like conglomeration, having that third film of this franchise or this trilogy of this franchise would have been great if they could have done it. I think that the reason for the exit is unfortunate. I think that the exit, you know, was planned the way it was planned because of some unfortunate differences in opinion with the people involved with the production, which we've talked about before is silly. But nonetheless, I think that for me, I'm excited that the legacy characters are coming back. But I'm also sad that we're not going to get a cap to the trilogy that we've been working up to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think, I don't know. It's weird because, you know, so many, you know, horror can be very divisive among these things, right? Within, you know, franchises. I don't know that this one is divisive if people just want to assume it would be. Again, I know there are some very, very, loyal Melissa Barrera fans who are not happy that she's not a part of it, and so therefore they're kind of hating everything that has come since. But I think the majority of the fans are happy that, you know, we're getting another movie, happy that Neve Campbell's back, but it, you know, but still have a little sadness that, you know, they couldn't have made the Melissa Barrera Jenna Ortega thing work within the franchise somewhat. But I don't think it's an either or. I think, we just would have hoped that there could have been a better overlap and a better melding of the two. But you know what? This is what we get. And I love Melissa Barrera. I love Jenna Ortega. If I had to, if I got to pick a direction, though, I really still, no offense to any of that, but I want the direction with Neve Campbell still involved. I just do. I just, I don't like seeing her not part of it. I don't think it was the time. It was too abrupt and not the time to for her to bow out of the franchise. It didn't make sense. There wasn't a story reason for it to kind of happen at that point. It was a contractual reason she wasn't in it, and I don't know. So I don't know. I'm glad to, I just I like this. I think this movie I will enjoy a little better than the last. But only, I don't know, only because I feel like it's just it feels a little more like the first four or five movies. And and I think six was what it was because that's what they had to do. I think they had to call some audibles because I think they had intended Neve Campbell to be a part. And when it didn't work out, I really think they had to make some adaptations. And I think that's probably why the movie kind of lacked a little, because I don't think it's what they originally wanted it to be. It was them trying to adapt. So, but anyway, that's enough on that. That's not our main topic today. So let's move on.
Stump the co-host.
And it is time for our segment of the week. And this week we're going to play Stump the Co-host. This is our trivia game where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. And each of us pick two cards out of this deck, which is a total of four questions. There are two questions per card, and we alternate asking each other these questions to determine who is the winner for this episode. Now, so far in 2024, man, as we are coming down here, the year's about up. Ike is up with four wins. I have two wins, and we have two draws. Now, Ike, if you were to win today, that pretty much seals the deal for you. There's just no way that I'm gonna there, well, we're gonna be able to have another three games for me to attempt to even tie you. It's just not possible. There's not enough time. Now, if I can pull the win out and draw it to a one win, I think we have to at least try one more round to squeeze one more in just to see if I can tie it up or not. Just to see, just that playoff type thing, and see what happens. But considering I've not had a lot of success this year, we'll see, but we'll see what happens. Ike, do you have your cards and are you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right. Since you are the defending 2023 champion, and since you are winning at the current time, I will let you pick. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll take the first question, Pat.
All right. Here we go. I think I'm much more of an Alex Trebek than Pat Sajak,
Fair.
but okay. All right. Oh, boy. Talking about a layup right out of the gates. Which installment from the Halloween movie franchise did not feature Michael Myers?
Oh, that's easy. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Correct. Man. Well, I don't think we're going to have to force another game in this year. All right. I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm confident. Let's go. Give me my first question. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Well, speaking of layups, how did young Jason Voorhees meet his demise at Camp Crystal Lake?
That motherfucker drowned.
He sure did.
Right. Might be the beer talking, but I'm feeling good. All right, guy. Here's your second question. Which franchise has the most sequels? A Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween?
I
And
think
again,
you would be.
I do not know where this cuts off. I would assume this game was probably made prior to the new movies. It is copyright 2022. So
Okay. I would I still think it would probably be Halloween.
that is correct.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I genuinely think this is another layup for you specifically because you really like this movie.
Boy.
Which installment of the Halloween franchise did Jamie Lee Curtis and Janet Leigh star in together?
Halloween H2O.
Yep, that is correct.
Boom. Janet Leigh, of course, is her mother, correct?
That is correct. Known for her role in Psycho.
All right, here we go. Your third question. What was the name of the cat in Pet Sematary?
Oh, fuck.
That one's that's tougher than it seems.
It is, because I do know it. Weirdly enough, I watched Pet Sematary not that long ago. But it was a remake.
Oh, the remake. There you go. Blew.
So, but I don't know if the cat is the same in that movie. Is it Church?
It is Church.
Okay.
Correct.
I was gonna say it's been a long time since I've seen the original, but in the remake he's called Church. So I couldn't remember if they kept the name or not. So, whew. All right. You ready for your third question?
I am. Go ahead.
Oh, never mind. This is another layup. Okay. Who wrote the novella The Hellbound Heart, which inspired the movie Hellraiser?
Clive Barker.
That is correct. I'm just telling you now, your fourth question is also a layup because you also really like that movie, but go ahead.
Well, so's your fourth movie. So this is going to be intriguing. We may have to just not do a draw here. We may have to pull one more card apiece.
And we might have to.
Yeah, fuck this draw shit. Anyway, here's your fourth question. What holiday-themed movie combined five interwoven stories that occur on the same block on the same night?
Oh, is that Trick or Treat?
That is Trick or Treat, yes.
All right. You ready for your fourth question?
Yeah, bring it on.
Another layup. What Stephen King movie stars a teenager with a possessed 1958 Plymouth Fury?
Ooh, that is Christine. That is my favorite Stephen King movie and one that we have coming up in a movie anniversary later.
We do.
Oh, see, I think let's pull another card apiece. Like, let's try to go one more.
Let's do
let's just go. We'll call this sudden death. Next question right wins.
Got it.
And we'll go for a bit here. I think in 2025 this ought to be our new approach, where we have no more draws.
I think that's a good idea.
There we go. Okay, here you go. Here is your first of the bonus questions. What 2016 M. Night Shyamalan film is about a kidnapper with 23 different personalities who's about to unleash the 24th.
That would be our boy Patricia. I'm sorry, our girl Patricia. Split.
That is Split. Correct. Okay, so I have to get this one right to keep it going, or else you win.
Yep. Who directed the 1999 film Sleepy Hollow, which starred Johnny Depp as Ichabod Crane?
Oh.
This is a layup. Don't overthink it. He directs all of Johnny Depp's movies.
Tim Burton.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that was going to be my guess, but I'm like trying to overthink it. I'm like, I don't know. I've not seen this movie, but it. Okay. Well, there we go. I was going to guess Tim Burton anyway because of that, because of Johnny Depp.
I mean, Johnny Depp or Helena Bonham Carter, just Tim Burton.
Yeah. All right. Here's your second bonus question. What is the profession of the main heroine in the 1981 werewolf film, The Howling?
Oh, boy. Okay. The Howling, the main profession, she was a news reporter, right?
She was a news reporter, correct?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. I got to get this one right. Here we go.
I'm not going to lie to you. The only reason I knew that is because in The Howling 2, it's called Your Sister's a Werewolf, and the sister was a werewolf who was a news reporter. All right, anyway, what substance was used to ink the pages of the Necronomicon?
Well, I'm going to guess blood.
That is correct.
Uh-oh, boy, this just might be the all-night game here.
All right, I'm going to say, I like this approach there because this makes it a little more competitive.
This is so much fun. This is the new standard moving forward. We no more draws unless we just get tired of answering questions. We are tied 6-6. So here is your third bonus question. What type of animal terrorizes Jennifer Connelly in Dario Argento's Phenomena.
So I'm not much of an Argento fan, but excuse me, I do remember this was a question that you had.
I think so, yeah. I think so, I remember, yeah.
So I'm trying to remember what was it? Oh my god. Because it was something that like had nothing to do with Phenomena. It was just completely out there. And it was Jennifer Connelly, and I'm trying to remember Argento. Oh my god, this is gonna kill me. This is gonna kill me. Is this it? It wasn't even like relatively even the same. It was just like a random ass animal, like a cheetah or a leopard or something like that. Like it wasn't even, or was it a monkey? No, it was a specific monkey. Oh my god.
I need an answer, and it's got to be the answer on the card.
Oh my god. It was a chimpanzee, but it was with a weapon, wasn't it? But I don't remember the weapon.
Yeah, we're not going to worry about the weapon. It is a chimpanzee with a straight razor. But we're not worried about the straight razor. Yeah, yes. We're not worried about the straight razor.
Oh my god. Woo.
All right. Pressure back on me. I've got to get this one right.
Oh, this is a layup. All right. Tony Todd is known for playing what character in this horror trilogy?
Candyman?
That is right.
Whew. Here we go. We're tied 7-7. In the 1979 film Tourist Trap, a group of friends are trapped in what establishment?
Oh, God.
This is not in your wheelhouse.
I have seen Tourist Trap. Was it a museum?
It was a museum, correct.
Oh, yep. I just remember the mask and like the shears on the cover. It's a cool mask. They should remake that movie.
I think they did, actually.
Did they? I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, see, I really like the movie. I like the mask. I think the mask is really creepy, but it's kind of a weird movie.
Yeah.
All right. Whew. What 2008 movie starring Bradley Cooper featured a killer known as Mahogany who mutilated victims in a subway car?
Well, fuck. This is definitely not my strength. Shit. 2008 starring Bradley Cooper, killer named Mahogany terrorizing in a subway car.
So well, if it helps, I've never seen this movie. I have seen it on the shelf. It's got a weird name. I will say that.
Yeah, you know what? I've not seen it either. Yeah, no idea. I can't. No, not even a valid guess. So we're just calling it there. What is the answer?
It's Midnight Meat Train.
Never. I don't even know if I've ever heard of that movie. I'm not a big Bradley Cooper guy. And that if I saw Bradley Cooper, it probably would have turned me off.
I like Bradley Cooper, but I've never seen him in a horror movie. Let's put it that way.
I like Bradley Cooper in the A-Team movie, which is a cheap thrill of mine, but all right. Well, there you go, Ike. You just got your fifth win, and that pretty much seals the deal that you have defended your title, and you will be the 2024 champion as well.
Listen, I'd like to give my thanks to, first and foremost, Barack Obama. Just kidding.
Yeah, save your speech for the recap show, the review show.
I will. It was the chimpanzee with the straight razor. I'm telling you, that's what sealed the deal.
Yeah, you were struggling with that one. If you got that one wrong, I would have won.
No.
We would have gone another.
We would have had another card, wouldn't we?
We had another card, yeah. But I would have still been in it. So that's all right, though. Because if nothing else, we have we've modified how we play the game, and I very much like this. I think it's a little more exciting.
I do too. I think it's a little more thematic, and I think it's
I
it'll be
like
a
it.
good change for 2025.
I like it. Get rid of those draws.
That's right. No more draws.
Yeah, so there you go. So that is what we're calling it. That's officially the last Up the Co-Host of 2024. Since we only have a couple weeks left, we're not even going to bother trying to put another one in. So Ike is won 5 wins to my 2 to 2 draws, and you can all bid the draws adieu because we will not see those again.
Nope.
And so there you have it. All right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, it'll be time for the news, birthdays, anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So, first things first, Celeste O'Connor, who is in Ghostbusters Afterlife and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, has joined the cast of Scream 7. No information is available about her role, but, you know, hey, well, here's the thing. She was good in those movies. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything else that I can recall off the top of my head, but she was fantastic in the Ghostbusters movies, so I'm sure she'll do fantastic in the Scream movie.
Yeah, I think it's a good addition. I'm curious. I wonder if she'll play... I'm guessing, my guess would be she'd be like a friend of Sydney's daughter that they announced recently, because she's probably about that same age. So I'm guessing that's what it'll be, or something to that effect. But yeah, I mean, that's a strong addition to the cast, I think.
I think so. I think it'll be good. And I have seen her in something. She was in that movie Freaky with Catherine Newton. And,
Vince Vaughn, yeah.
That's a good one. All right. Moving on to Smile 2 is now streaming on Paramount Plus. If you have not yet watched this movie and you have Paramount Plus, give it a watch. Or if you don't have Paramount Plus, cash in on that free trial if they still do that. Or I don't think Paramount Plus is that expensive. In my opinion, it would be worth buying a month of Paramount Plus to check this movie out. And while you're there, check out Yellow Jackets and all that other shit. I will forewarn you, Paramount Plus as an app is absolute asshole. So the worst app, one of the worst apps that I've ever had to use. I will say that I recently migrated all of my apps to a old Xbox of mine, and it works a little better on the Xbox, I found. I don't know why, but anywho, watch this movie. Dave and I loved it even more than the first one. I mean, it blew us out of the water. So if you're wanting like a real good 1-2 punch, check out Smile 1 and 2. Super good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to giving it another watch now that it's out. It's definitely a movie that I've been looking forward to seeing again. And while I'm not necessarily like you, I'm not a big fan of the Paramount Plus app, they do have lots of content that I watch on there. I use it for several things. I like to watch. I like the series Tulsa King, which is exclusive on there. Very good. Love that. I also use that to watch Fire Country and Tracker. So there you go. Those are all non-horror, but Paramount Plus gets a lot of play for me. So there is a lot of good content on there. And this is yet another. And they do have a lot of movies that come straight there. We've had a few movies that we've reviewed in the past, I think, that have gone straight to Paramount Plus, So like you said, if you don't have it, it might be worth giving it a shot for a month and seeing what you think of it. You'd at least get your money's worth to watch Smile 2.
Absolutely. And like I said, they do also have like all kinds of stuff on there. They have a lot of A24 stuff on there. They've got like Talk to Me and all that. So hey, it could be a good little foray if you're looking for it. So, but moving on to the screenplay for Eli Roth's Thanksgiving 2 has been written and it will begin filming in March. This is obviously super exciting news. it again cannot be understated how much Dave and I loved the first Thanksgiving movie and how excited we are for a sequel. It is just a chef's kiss. We love Thanksgiving. Patrick Dempsey, you know, just absolutely blowing it out of the park. And our, oh gosh, what's his name? What's the guy's name? The killer.
John Carver?
John Carver, yep. I cannot wait to see the return of John Carver. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're going to have to bring him back in some way. So, sure, super yeah. excited for that.
Yeah. You know, Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. Matthew Broderick, according to me. maybe, my God, if Matthew Broderick's in the second one, I'm going to lose my mind. But
you've got the magical foresight.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you know, we discussed this last episode, I believe, where we were around Thanksgiving time, and we discussed a little bit because we were talking about what we'd like to see in the second movie. So we'll, you know, at some point next year, get to see what we thought if it came true. But like we pointed out, you know, at the end of that movie, right, they burnt the character, Patrick Dempsey character. And he walked out in the fireman suit, we suspect. It's not really revealed, but heavily implied. And so I think that was their, I don't know, I feel like it's a little bit of a workaround if they can't get Patrick Dempsey to come back. They can always say he was disfigured.
Yeah.
And kind of have somebody else do it. One would hope, it's an Eli Roth movie, one would hope they're going to make a run at having him come back. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully they've got something original planned, but no matter the case, I look forward to seeing the second one, because I, like you said, really, really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that caps us off for our news, and now we're moving on to some birthdays. A very timely birthday on December 7th, 1976, our friend Mark Duplass from the Creep franchise, as well as a bunch of other stuff. He's done a lot of shit, but specifically the Creep franchise, he is the Creep, aka, you know, whatever name that he has that he gives himself. Mark Duplass is supremely talented, and I did not know it was his birthday, so happy birthday to our friend Mark.
Absolutely. No more needs to be said. We I think we blew him enough earlier in the show that he knows how much we love him.
So. that's true. We're over here meat riding for Mark Duplass. I'm love sure him. He does not watch our show, but
love him, love him. Never know.
True. That's all right. Moving on to a very similar day, December 7th, 1967, instead of 76, Danny Hassel, who played Dan in Nightmare 4, Dream Master, and Nightmare Dream Child. Obviously, any veteran of the Nightmare franchise is a welcome addition to our birthdays. So happy birthday to Danny.
Yeah, he was the kind of the jock, preppy looking dude in those. That I think made it all the way. Obviously, I guess made it all the way through 4, but that was him. And he gets out there and does a lot of conventions, I believe. So
yeah, I think I've seen him at a convention or two before. So very cool. All right, moving on to December 8th, 1966. Tyler Mane, who played Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie Halloween films, but also played Sabretooth in X-Men and Deadpool Wolverine. A very, very talented individual, you know, even though he had a very small role as Sabretooth and Deadpool Wolverine, still one of my favorite parts. But also, he was not a bad Michael Myers. I do not fault him for the failings of the director slash writer. Nope. So, fantastic actor. I hope to see him do more and more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because he fits, you know, he's a big guy. Got a good look about him, good, you know, good build. Could do lots of things, right? And would fit that masked killer kind of guy in some roles. So, and he's done, you know, again, he's done other things or whatever else, but those are kind of some of the ones I know. The X-Men and whatever else is not horror, but that's some of his bigger roles that he's known for. So, I like some Tyler Bate.
Yeah, absolutely. Very versatile actor, and I can say he's a big dude. So, all right. Moving on to upcoming movie anniversaries. Again, very timely. December 9th, 1983, Christine, the Murderous Car. Obviously, Christine's a very unique film, and as campy and cheesy as it sounds, Stephen King and whoever helped with that film definitely made the idea of a killer car actually terrifying. Because obviously, as an 80s horror film, it does have a little bit of camp to it. But in my opinion, it's a genuinely scary film. Like, they make the car very menacing in that movie.
It does. And it's, I'm telling you that, there's something about that first time the car, repairs itself. I don't know, there's something just, it's kind of chilling about it. But the highlight of the movie is the nerdy guy that buys him, right? Who's this nerd guy at the beginning, but then he transitions to becoming this real cocky, arrogant, everything about him. And that dude does such a good job. I can't remember his name, but he does such a good job in playing virtually two characters. And making that switch. He is super creepy as well. I love Christine. Probably again, I will say it's still probably my favorite Stephen King movie. I absolutely just love watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually, Dave had a van at one point in time that was nicknamed Christine for all the problems it caused.
It's because it has so many problems and so many wrecks and different things and whatever else and hitting deer, but the sucker just kept going, just kept running.
That's right. And, kept chugging along.
So it was, we lovingly called it Christine because while it didn't repair itself, it was just like nothing could put it down until it finally, yes, just kind of gave out. So
yep. That's right. All right. Moving on to December 9th, 2022, we have The Mean One. Can't say Mr. Grinch after that because that's copyright infringement.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It's not The Grinch, it's The Mean One. The Mean One, fantastic movie. Our friend David Howard Thornton's in that. It's just a fantastic movie. A lovely movie of Christmas cheer and violence. So can't beat it. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch, especially this time of year.
Yeah, it works, right? The quote unquote mean one, or the Grinch, as we can't say. he works as a villain, and for as much as the concept of him works, I mean, David Howard Thornton, of course, in his just absolute genius acting and body acting and what a physical acting or whatever you want to call it, just takes it to the next level, right? He can play a virtually a silent character, right? That's what he plays in art. So it's he's playing another, and he just is so good, nails it, and totally takes a pretty solid movie, a pretty solid concept, and just makes it all the better.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right. That is it for our news, birthdays, upcoming releases, or no, I'm sorry, movie anniversaries. It is now time for our upcoming releases. First things first, Werewolves hits theaters December 6th, starring Frank Grillo. It is described as two scientists try to stop a mutation that turns people into werewolves after being touched by a supermoon the year before. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I'm very very sorry to hear that the moon molested these people, but I hope to see some vengeance taken upon that celestial body.
That's right. I like how they phrase that, right? Being touched by a supermoon. When I saw that description, I thought about modifying, tweaking that. Like, nope, you know what? I'm going to leave that. And just sounds right. And but yeah, this trailer looks really good and whatever else. And you know what? I think I'd watch anything that has the phrase supermoon in it. So, yeah. I know maybe we're missing the point. Maybe it's not about the moon so much, but I'm excited about the moon.
It's the same thing that happened with the mysterious sack. It'll happen again.
Perhaps in the mysterious sack is a super moon.
Yeah, perhaps a molesting super moon. Who knows? But
I think. Anyway. What kind of registry do you put that on? For a molesting super moon, like some kind of astronomy registry. I don't know. What do you put that on?
Do they have like a celestial sexual predators list?
Maybe. Do we do? Would Neil deGrasse Tyson know that? I don't know.
Yeah. Does he monitor that? I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that fall under him or Bill Nye or who? I don't know. Who does that? I can. But I, you know what? Yeah. I hope Frank Grillo gets some revenge on that supermoon.
That's right. I mean, for people who don't know, we did also, I don't know if you mentioned this, Dave, but we did react to this trailer previously.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
That's out there as well. So make sure you check that out too. But
it's a kick-ass trailer.
It is, very much so. But all right, speaking of kick-ass, our next movie, Bloody Axe Wound. That is a hell of a title, as well as it is a descripting statement of, I'm assuming, something in this movie. But it is coming to limited theaters on December 27th, and it is described as Abby Bladecut, hell of a name, is a teenager torn between the macabre traditions of her family's bloody trade and the tender strings of her first crush. I am just beyond curious about this movie now. Not only is it called Bloody Axe Wound, but the main character's name is Abby Bladecut. Yeah. Hell of a name for the movie character.
There's a lot just to digest in this little statement right here. Okay, let's...
Truly.
First of all, if you can't tell, I'm pretty sure this movie's got a little bit, some comedy to it. Because, you know, with the obvious Abby Bladecut name, Bloody Axe Wound sounds like an absolute, like, banger of a 90s PlayStation 1 game. And it just... It's just like, yeah, it's like one of those, I don't know, some kind of, you know, knockoff, you know, game that, you know, it's like, okay, you can't get this fighting game, but do you want Bloody Axe Wound? And then I was always, also, this is another one that in the description, I thought about modifying, but I thought, no, I'm going to leave it, because the whole phrase, the tender strings of her first crush, sounds just weirdly inappropriate. I don't know. There's something, I don't know what tender strings means. I'm not sure what that is. But that is how IMDb described it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too old to understand this shit. But that sounds odd. But
yeah,
we'll see.
It's something. I guess we're going to find out. So check that out around the Christmas holiday this season. So
yeah.
All right. That is it. It's our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. As always, this is a little tidbit I always slide in right around here. Make sure you follow us on social media. When you follow us on social media, you're helping to support the podcast, but you're also keeping up with all the updates, you know, news, birthdays, all that good stuff as it happens. Because sometimes shit happens before we record or after we record, but before we record the next week. So you sometimes miss out a little bit on the up-to-date news during that time. So you follow us on social media, you are not going to be left out. Yeah, that's it. So stick around, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Cellar Door. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty, and if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. We are down the home stretch, and it is time for our review, and we are reviewing Cellar Door, which was written by Sam Scott and Laurie Evans Taylor, directed by Von Stein, starring Jordana Brewster, Scott Speedman, Lawrence Fishburne, and others. The movie was released November 1st on video on demand. You know what? We keep it spoiler free, and you know what? This is what I'm going to say. The movie was okay. I wasn't blown away by any stretch of the imagination. But I say going into it and watching the trailer and reading the description, the movie wasn't what I thought. I don't even know that in retrospect now, based on the description and what you thought you were getting, I don't even think I would really classify this as a horror movie. It didn't really have a lot of horror. It was more of a thriller type movie, and but it was okay. God, or something. I have to keep myself from saying because it's going to give away so much. But the movie. Let's just say the movie. It really didn't move, wind up, or play out the way I expected. It just wasn't. I'm not saying that. To say it's horribly bad or what or why it's indifferent, but it's not what I anticipated going into this movie from the bit I saw in the trailer and by the title of the movie. Let me just say it. This is not really a spoiler, but I'm fighting to say it, but I want to say it. The movie's titled Cellar Door, and the cellar door doesn't play as big a part as you think. It's
No.
just it's not what you think or they lead you to believe. It really isn't. They had a couple swerves they tried to work into it to try to be, I don't think it was, maybe it'll fight, catch some people off guard. I kind of saw where it was going. You kind of had a feeling a little bit of so at least some of it. Not, I'm not saying all of it per se, but kind of the biggest point. I kind of thought it was going that direction. Again, I kept waiting how they were going to bring it back around to the cellar door. I get in the end there is a line that kind of that does kind of give a little credence to why it's called cellar door or why that's an important. I mean, it's a little tongue in cheek. It's whatever. It does have, it's hard to describe. But there is a line at the towards the end of the movie that does bring it home to that title a little bit. Again, I wouldn't classify this as a horror movie. The movie was well shot, well acted, but it was okay. It tried to be more clever than I don't think it pulled it off like it hoped, because it was just, to me, it was kind of, I don't know, maybe it was just me. It was easy to read what was happening once you got so far into it and you realize this, it's not what you thought. And it was, again, it was more of a, I don't know, a crime thriller type deal or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, true, something to that effect. Not really horror. I just can't say I was blown away by this. It was okay. Nothing that I'm that thrilled about. Nothing that I would probably ever watch again. I just don't. I was really, I guess I was hoping for more supernatural to it and a little something something, and it didn't have that. But if you like thrillers and whatnot, you might be okay with it. But if you're going into it thinking this is a real super scary thriller or super super thrilly scary, excuse me, horror type movie, you're gonna be disappointed, because that's kind of what I was hoping. I sat there just like, okay, good. Let's see what they're gonna let's see what happens when they open that cellar door and what's down there. And I'm still waiting. So, Ike, what did you think?
Okay, so I will first start by saying that I didn't hate the movie. Like, it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. And it's interesting to see, Scott Speedman getting work nowadays, because he was in the original Strangers movie, and then recently he was in Cellar Door, but he was also in a show called Teacup, which is on Peacock, I think. It's a pretty good movie or show. But yeah, it's interesting because I didn't hate the movie, but the movie kind of annoyed me, because the whole premise of the movie is that these people essentially are gifted a free house, right? They're gifted this huge mansion, essentially. And the only requirement is that you do not go in the basement, or you don't open the cellar door, right? Who in the absolute fuck would not take that deal? And who in the fuck would care?
Yeah,
I
really.
mean, genuinely, in this market, are you kidding me? As someone who, genuinely, as someone who just bought a house, I wish somebody would have came up to me and said, hey, I'm going to give you this really nice ass house. It's got all these bedrooms, everything else. It's huge. Only thing, though, my guy, is I got a shed out back. You cannot go in there. All right. I'd have been like, fuck it, I don't care. That's fine. That's cool with me. I'll take it. I don't give a shit what's in that shed. You could have dead bodies. You could have piles of dead children in there. I'm not gonna care. You don't know why? you just gave me a free house. Why the hell would I care? So that's the thing. That kind of annoyed me, right? Like, who in their right mind would not take that deal? You know what I mean? Like, the only person who would not take that deal is an absolute buffoon, a fool. And the only person who's going to really care about that deal or have an issue with that deal is an idiot. You know what I mean? Scott Speedman character, I know he had some other shit going on, but, like, I don't care how guilty you feel or whatever else the hell's going on with you. Why would you not just accept the absolute layup that was just handed to you and dunk it? Like, oh my God. So that annoyed the shit out of me. That in of itself, the fact that he was questioning this deal for as long as he did in the beginning of the movie is what honestly set the tone for the movie for me. And that annoyed me tremendously. Because that is not a realistic depiction of somebody in this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But outside of that, once I kind of got past that, you know, and kind of settled into the movie a little bit, it was a perfectly fine movie. Like you said, I do not think that I would classify this as a horror movie. I think that this is by and large a thriller, if not maybe like a crime thriller to a degree. And there were some cool elements to this, but I was really thinking that there'd be more of like a supernatural element to this, or maybe a little bit more from Lawrence Fishburne's character, or a little bit more like history, or I don't know. I really felt as if there would be more to this than they gave us. And yeah. I just simply do not understand the route that it went, or like, I just kind of felt a little let down by what could have been, because they could have done something really cool. You know what I mean? But they didn't, and that's fine. And because the movie wasn't bad, it was just wasn't the best. It wasn't my favorite movie. And it was just sort of like, yeah, okay, this is what happened. This is what's going on. And yeah, that's it. That's all there is to it. I mean, and like you said, it was not scary. It was mildly thematic and mildly thrilling, I guess you could say. But it was by no means a scary movie. I don't imagine anyone who's seen a scary movie before would say, oh yeah, this movie terrified me. So that kind of was a little bit of a letdown as well, I would say. But otherwise, it was all right. You know, it was just okay.
Yeah, I just don't think there was a lot to it to really, you know, as a stand-up, to set it apart from, I don't know, I just feel like we've seen 50 million of these type thriller suspense type movies like this, and this one didn't, you know, it was okay, but it didn't, there wasn't, to me, a whole lot to it to make it stand out from the others. It just felt like another, and you know, people killing people and whatnot, and but everybody's got a secret, and that's what it is. But yeah, I don't know. Again, probably if, you know, had they been a little clearer in their description, or a little more accurate in their description, probably not a movie we would have reviewed.
No.
You know, maybe a movie I probably still would have watched on the side, but didn't, you know, honest to God, didn't really fit the bill. Here, no. Of what we would to build, but it is what it is. It's what we picked, and we're gonna stick to it. So Ike, out of 5 screams, what are you giving Cellar Door?
I'm giving this a 2 out of 5 because no one in their right mind would ever turn down a free movie in that way at all. Period. So, or free movie, free house in that way. So. This is getting a strong 2 out of 5 for me. I think this is the lowest I've scored a movie in a while. Like I said, it wasn't anything special. I didn't hate the movie. It was just a weird depiction. And like, I don't know. It seemed kind of tone deaf for the current climate of the world that we're in too. So that's my 2 cents on that movie. 2 out of 5.
Your 2 screams on the movie.
My 2 screams on the movie.
Yeah. Ah! Yeah. that's what I'm giving it to is a 2 out of 5. Cause you know, again, it's not that it was, I don't know, wasn't a bad, it was just, I didn't find it highly original. It's not that it wasn't well executed and everybody did well in the movie and it was shot well and all that was great, but it was just the concept. Again, it just, it's lost in the shuffle of the millions of thriller movies that are out there. It's just nothing really jumps out. And, you know, for what they wrote and they executed it fine, but it's just, there's nothing that made me think if I'm going to watch this type of movie, I would go back to this and give it a rewatch. It's, there's just nothing there to make me want to do that, that sets it apart. And, yeah. And, you know, it's just a little, I don't know, a little disappointing from what I anticipated it would be from. I still say it's the way they marketed it. It's by watching the trailer and the description and seeing the poster, it felt like it was going to be a 100% completely different movie than what they did. And that to me annoys me. Because I don't feel like they marketed it appropriately, for what it should have been. So, but what, you know, whatever. So that is it. A 2 out of 5 for Cellar Door from us. If you're looking for a horror movie to watch, keep looking. This is not it. If you want to see some form of a movie, a thriller type movie, okay, give it a shot. But anyway, like we mentioned earlier, next episode, we will be reviewing the movie Werewolves, which looks like a pretty cool modern take on the werewolf mythology. Kind of like I think we discussed when we reviewed the trailer. This kind of feels like maybe the World War Z type treatment for werewolves, giving it something modern, a little different, a little fresh, a little, you know, not your customary guy wanders in the woods and gets bit by something and so he turns on the next full moon type thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this is, you know, trying a little something different in the mythos, and I'm looking forward to it a lot. Before we get out of here, we'd like to say a special thank you to our wives for all their support, as well as all the listeners and all of our followers on social media, et cetera, for all your support and interactions. Guys, give us a little more feedback. Give us a little more to chew on. Give us some topics for that Talk to Us Internet segment, right? Ask us our opinions on something. Give us some feedback on something. You know, tell us that we're full of shit about something. Whatever it may be, give us something that we can respond to in that segment so that we don't have to go looking to other people, right? Give us something that we can look at our followers and our listeners to give feedback and response to. I promise we're nice guys. We're not going to call you out and grill you. We don't even tell anybody's names in this segment, right? We don't call anybody out by name, and we're not going to say, "Oh, look at hunky guy on X. He's such a moron." You know, come on. That's just not going to happen. So don't be afraid. Interact and give us some thoughts. So, all right, before we close out and get out of here, anything you want to throw in?
Well, as everybody knows, it is the winter season upon us. So our friends in the northern states, be safe and keep warm up there, especially with the snow that I'm sure you're all getting. You know, Dave and I are pretty lucky that we are in pretty warm / moderate climate, so we will not be getting much, if any, snow. And yeah, just stay warm out there, guys. You know, be safe in the snow. And I know that, you know, it is past the holiday for Thanksgiving, but we are approaching quickly Christmas. So make sure you guys are being good, or else Santa will put you on the naughty list, or perhaps Krampus will pay you a visit. So keep an eye out for that. Also, keep an eye out for our preview towards the end of this month, because we I think we should do another preview of 2025 like we did last year. That'll be a fun little segment to kind of preview what we think are going to be our favorite movies next year. There's a lot of good stuff coming out.
Yeah, we will definitely be doing that. That will be coming up soon, and then shortly, or at the whatever will be the first week of 2025 will be our 2024 year in review. So the final week of this year will be our preview, or our preview for next year. First week of next year will be our review of this year. So there you go. And those are always fun episodes to do. It's funny to, we do all these reviews and watch all these movies, but it's always wild to sit down and try to put them all into context to do, you know, what were our favorites of the year. Cause there's always movies that I'm like, oh, I kind of forgot about that movie and how good that was, or, you know, kind of forgot that movie was this year or whatever. It's
right.
It's kind of fun to sit down and analyze and do that. So, but anyway, we're going to get out of here. And like I said, join us next episode. We will be reviewing Werewolves. There you go. you can tell that I'm just not feeling well, and I'm just it's perfect time for to wrap this up and get out of here. You know, too many whatever super moons and mysterious sacks and tender strings and all that stuff. Just I'm gonna have weird dreams tonight, and I will report on all the next week. So, but anyway, let's close out. And as always, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.